Yeah, so I just, you know, I felt that today, with it being Women's Day, literally yesterday, that we would just take a break from the book that we're working through, and we would look at this thing of the Proverbs 31 woman. And I know in the past, whenever I've mentioned, you know, oh, I'm going to teach from this, from Proverbs 31, you know, people just go, no, that's the perfect woman. We don't need teaching about that. You know, like, let's not go there. And I must admit, I've never really understood that position, because for me, everything in the Word, hello, darling. Lovely to see you. I love your colors.
We're only starting now, so we're good.
Yeah, we only just started. Yeah. So you know, everything in Scripture is about a higher standard, a higher way. There's always a challenge in Scripture. So if we take the position of, oh no, I'm not going to read about the Proverbs 31 woman because she's just perfect and all the rest of it, well, then we're saying, well, then we don't want to read anything in Scripture, because Scripture is all about excellence. It's all about a higher way, a higher standard. The key thing is that I can't do it in my own strength, but I can receive the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And that is something that I go to all the time. Whenever I'm facing something, whenever anyone here is facing something, my first response to myself, to you, will be, have you prayed about it? Have you asked the Father for supernatural enabling in something? Because I know in my life, there's no ways that I can do certain things without His strength and His enabling and His grace and His mercy. So I think it's a privilege for us to look at things like the Proverbs 31 woman. And it's not just about wives, it's about women, you know?
Yeah, that's so important, that it's, because it always seems the emphasis on wives, but it is.
It's about being a woman and the challenges that we face and the encouragement that we face to go to a higher level, you know, in whatever it might be. But so I did just want to just speak about this thing of the 9th of August, 1956. Why we celebrate Women's Day. You know, because I think many of us, we know that it was something that women did a long time ago, but we've never really looked at it. And, you know, for me, I always knew that it was about a bunch of ladies that went to Pretoria, to there in front of the Union Building, and it was specifically to basically say, look, the past laws don't work for us. You can't do this. But what was so beautiful is that, first of all, you couldn't gather and you couldn't walk as a large group of women. So women had to go in little groups of twos and threes. But they all quietly arrived at the Union Buildings, all in perfect order, as only women can do. They did it on the Thursday, which was traditionally a day where most domestic workers would have been, they would have been off. It was Thursday was the off day, so they made sure it was on that Thursday. And they literally just protested against those pass laws being introduced against women. They had already been introduced against men, but... And for me, it's this thing of women from all races, white, black, colored, Indian, came together and stood together. Did it accomplish anything? I believe that any stand of courage does accomplish something, even if it's just in our hearts, in our spirits. I know that... I think by 1960, obviously, you know, full-blown apartheid started, and one could say, well, did it accomplish anything? Yes, I believe it did. and we remember those women for how they stood together with courage. And the phrase that I always love from that day was, you strike a woman, you strike a rock.
You strike
a rock. So in memory, in remembrance of women of faith, women of courage, I want to look at this thing of the Proverbs 31 woman. The interesting thing is that this whole chapter, it's Proverbs 31, it was actually written to a man. So it wasn't actually written to a woman. Because if you look at it, if you start it in chapter 31, verse 1, it talks about the sayings of King Lemuel contain this message, which his mother taught him. And it speaks about how she's saying, oh, my son, son of my womb, son of my vows, don't waste your strength on, and there's a whole list, you know, woman, a guzzling wine, doing all of these things that aren't going to bring life. In verse 8, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. And then it says, it speaks about this thing of the noble woman, the noble wife. Seek such a woman, okay? So the interesting thing is that Lemuel actually means El, whenever you see El, you know that is God, okay? In the Hebrew, El is always God. And Lamu meant to belong to. So the name Lemuel means belonging to God. And many believe that these were the sayings of Bathsheba to her son Solomon. So that Lemuel was another name for Solomon. So they were words of wisdom that Bathsheba, as a mother, gives her son, Solomon. And it was addressed to a man on the qualities that he should look for in a woman. Beautiful hair. So the other thing that we also need to remember is that essentially this isn't a real woman in the sense of this woman existed, but rather that in Proverbs, there's four allegorical women referred to in the book of Proverbs. And I think most of us would know of that woman who is represented as wisdom, okay? So if you wanted to do a study of it, The first woman is the woman of wisdom. there's scriptures like Proverbs 4, verse 6. Another incredible book to do a study of is the book of Proverbs. Let me just get to the beginning of it. So Proverbs 4, verse 6. That says, it talks about, don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. In 8 verse 1, I think that's where it specifically says, listen as wisdom, capital W, wisdom personified as a woman. Listen as wisdom calls out. Here is understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. It's a beautiful chapter. Mm-hmm. And also the whole, I think, of chapter 9, there again, wisdom has built her house. She has carved its 7 columns. And it talks about wisdom as a woman. And then we see the opposite of that woman of wisdom as being a woman of foolishness. Mm-hmm. And that is, so that's the second woman, a foolish woman. And that's Proverbs 9, verse 13. A little bit further on, where it says, the woman named Folly is brash. Folly with a capital F. She's ignorant. It talks a whole lot of stuff about the foolish woman. An important thing to always remember as women is that we need to be discreet. Discretion, that's a beautiful thing. Sometimes we, and I'm the first to raise my hand, we can sometimes say too much, you know. Discretion. So that's the opposite of the woman of wisdom. And then we see another woman who is the immoral, adulteress. That's mentioned a number of times. Proverbs 2 verse 16. It speaks about this wayward woman. Wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. She's abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. And there we see that is the opposite to this Proverbs 31 woman, who is the woman of noble character. Okay. So the woman of wisdom versus the brash, foolish woman, and then the immoral adulteress versus the woman of noble character. And so we're looking at Proverbs 31, the woman of noble character. So maybe let's start by reading it. I'm just going to sort of mention things as I go through it. So it's specifically chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? A woman of noble character, I think, is what some of your translations would say. She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. And again, if you don't have a husband, this is not so much about just my husband, but it's about, can people trust me? Am I trustworthy? Do I enrich the lives of those around me? So it speaks about a trustworthiness, a reliability. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. That so often for me is a bit of a litmus test on something. Is what I'm about to say or do, is it going to bring good or is it going to bring harm? And I think that's something that we always just have to take that those few seconds just to go, hold on, Susie, what you're about to say or do, is it going to bring good or is it going to bring harm? Whether it's my husband, my child, somebody that I work with, whatever it is, a friend, you know, is it going to be helpful or is it going to be harmful? So just as we go along, there's, if you're writing down any of this, obviously there we see trustworthiness. There's principles that we can draw from this. Trustworthiness, reliability. Verse 13, she finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She's like a merchant's ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. The principle's there. There's a diligence. You know, some of us might be night owls that struggle to wake up in the morning, you know. Or some of us might be early to bed but early to rise. So, you know, each of us are different. I'm one of those early risers. That's who I am. But the principle there is diligence, hard work, not being lazy, serving others. Let's just read a bit further. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. I love that scripture. She's energetic and strong, a hard worker. Energetic, strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable and her lamp burns late into the night. So take from that what, take the principle, not necessarily you must be this type of person or you must be that type of person and you've got to work with your hands and all the rest of it. It's about a principle. Being diligent, being a hard worker, not being lazy. I love what they say there about the fact that she is doing stuff and is financially accomplishing something. I think one of my biggest wrestles and struggles, particularly with some church leadership, is that they push this thing of woman must be at home, cannot have a job, should not have their own bank account, should be completely reliant on the husband for everything. And I just go, what world are you living in? It is a lie. And I really want to just liberate anybody that has had that put on them. I remember sitting with women who would say to me, you know, I'm under so much pressure to stop working and be at home for my children. And all I want to do is be at home with my children. But financially, we can't. And I've had to, like, liberate them from this horrible sort of condemnation that is put on them to you just can't work and you can't have your own bank account. Everything must be shared or he must control the finances and all of that. And I'm like, sure. I mean, Mom, would you like to just share something of how difficult it's been for you? You've never had your own bank account and suddenly she was thrown in the deep end, not because Terry forced her to do that, but just because she never even...
The generation grew up, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different generation, because I know with my late mom's mom, the men in those days did have this whole concept of we in control. Mm-hmm. And not to lord it over them, that's what they were taught.
And it's a beautiful thing when a man is a breadwinner, and when he can lead his family in that. But so often, financially, that one income isn't sufficient.
Yeah.
And sometimes that man can be out of work.
Mm. Yeah.
I've been there. So we've pushed this thing of a woman must just stay at home. And again, if that is what God has blessed you with, then it's incredible. What a privilege. I'm the first to go, oh, Lord Jesus, release me from having to work. I would love to be released from that.
I don't want to be released from that. I want to work.
But some of us would love that. And so, again, it's that thing of, you know, if that's what God has released you to do, awesome. But if he's not,
can I just say something?
Yes.
But when I found myself divorced, it was a very difficult thing for me because I had nothing.
Sure.
And I had to find a job and I had to start all over again. So it was for me, it was really, really, thank you God. I've been working for 14 years now.
Wow.
And I've actually never looked back.
Good.
I don't want to get married or anything anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I have to battle, I'd rather just do it on my own, and I know I will be okay because God has never left me nor forsaken me.
Exactly.
I've never been without a plate of food.
That's
or
it.
Anything like that.
Yeah.
Desi, you are a Proverbs 31 woman because you still, even though you're on your own, you do contain all these virtues in Proverbs 31.
That's it.
I know you well.
You
and that is
hard.
Why I say you work incredibly hard.
That's
and
it.
You are a kind, loving, giving, diligent woman.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sorry about anything. I don't get me wrong. But I mean, I'm just saying, I know where I've come and where I am now.
Yeah.
And I thank God for every step that he's taken with me.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing of embracing the season that we're in. Where we don't always understand, God, the season that I'm in is really hard. Whatever that might look like. It could be a season of singleness. It could be a season of financial stress. It could be a season, a beautiful season of whatever it might be, you know? It's awesome. But the key thing is, this is the season that I'm in, and I need to work well with the season, and I need to walk with God through this season. He has to be my enabler. He will be my provider. The key thing is, am I listening? And am I walking with a sense of freedom and not condemnation? So that's the thing is none of this should condemn. If it convicts, that's fine. I'm okay with conviction. I'm convicted under the Holy Spirit that I need to work more diligently in this area. But I don't want the enemy's voice of condemnation to settle upon me. That's the key thing. Okay. So it's okay to have that skill, to have that degree, to have, I mean, please, when I finished varsity, I thought, why the heck did I do this degree? Because we ended up on the mission field very quickly after I got married. And I did not think that I would actually ever work with that degree that I had in town and regional planning. It turned out that God saw down the road, and financially that degree did and continues to keep us financially above the water. So thank you, Jesus. Yeah. He sees things so perfectly, you know.
Not in our timing, in his
time. Yeah, and in his wisdom. And so that's a constant prayer that we need to have. Father, give me your wisdom because you see things perfectly, you know. A thing that I always encourage young people in is you might not be the university child,
material,
whatever you want to call it, but make sure that you get a skill, a trade, some type of diploma, certificate, just something, something that you can rely on, you know. So, you know, with my son, he was not the university type, but he got a skill in videography and in photography, and it's keeping them on a good, solid track. My daughter, another story, and you know, and with her it's a more of an academic university type of thing, and that's awesome.
So each of us have got a talent.
Yes,
so
that's it.
Doesn't mean because I never went lost.
Yeah.
Yet I have got a very, very successful career from way in my 20s already. So it just depends on what you do with what God's given you.
And Charmaine, you were always diligent with, you know, so you started out like, you know, you were a teller, a cashier in a spa.
I actually started working as a teller at Pick and Pay.
There, Pick and Pay.
Yeah.
And because of your work ethic, people noticed, and then they said, come and work at the bank.
Yeah.
And then there was a good work ethic. Mm-hmm. And
plus,
that's the point.
I know it's touching nerve with people, but from the very, very, very first time I started working, I have always believed in giving my tithes. So that is something that I am passionate about. We had times in our lives that we really had very little food in the house, but it wasn't negotiable. My tithes had to go in. And that to me is a huge secret of blessing in life.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's not a law, but if you've got hands like this, it comes down back to you.
Yeah.
You receive.
That's it. And that leads to verse 19 that says, her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor, and she opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. I love the connection there, that as she extends a helping hand, a hand of generosity, a hand that says, okay, Father, this is yours, I give this to you, and then there's those around me that need help, to extend that hand of help, that it then says, She has no fear of winter, of the future. Because, you know, if you've put God first, he then, that's what it says in scripture, put first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added. So I do what is right, I give generously, and God sorts out the rest. And sometimes in those seasons when I'm like, Father, I'm not necessarily seeing the provision here, we go, okay, I'm doing everything that I can, and now I trust him.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things. So there we see generosity, thinking of others, helping the poor, looking beyond herself. She's not selfish. Beautiful. It says here in verse 22, she makes her own bedspreads. I've never made a bedspread. My mommy has, and it's such a, I'm sure Charmaine has, but again, this is where I'm not that perfect craft sort of homemaker. You know, that picture perfect. I'm not that. I love a beautiful home, but I don't know how to make things, and I'm not a big baker and all. But it's fine because I do other things.
We could never teach you.
And but this is the point: is that we all have our own giftings, you know, and so that's what we run with, you know. So this lady has beautiful healing hands. Whenever she can, I can help you with that, you know. And each of us have our own particular gifting. Make sure that we just run in with that. It says, she dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. What I take from that is she spends a little bit of time on her appearance.
Yeah.
I really think it's important that we just spend a little bit of time making sure that we've brushed our teeth, we've put on that underarm, we've washed our hair, and we make ourselves presentable. You know, it's just, thankfully, as women, it does seem to be something that we're good at, perhaps more than our men. Self-image.
It makes you feel good.
Totally. Yes, presenting it beautifully. Yeah. Having a spirit of excellence, you know, with whatever it might be. It's important. It says, her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with the other civic leaders. Another scripture says with the elders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She's a worker. She earns an income. She is her own person with her own skills and strengths and abilities. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. That's like the best scripture ever. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. She's not lazy. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. And I think that's always a beautiful thing when we see people bringing encouragement, whether it's you encouraging your husband or your child or a fellow worker, or your husband or your children giving you praise. I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than that. And I think just as women, yes, it would be lovely if we were receiving the praise, and I, it, It's wonderful. It's wonderful when those closest to us encourage us and praise us. But we need to be strong, because often we don't get the encouragement and the praise. Again, it's almost like trying to say there, like, hey, guys, do a bit more encouragement and praising. Children, maybe do that a little bit more, you know? But what I've tried to learn in that is that the voice that I need to hear is the voice of my Father. Because most times, there's not going to be that encouraging word. And yes, it's great when it comes, but it's not always there. And it's learning to go, it's fine, as long as I'm hearing the voice of my Father saying, well done, my good and faithful servant, I'm going to be okay. But I do want to encourage you as ladies, if you do have a man in your life, the one thing that they do absolutely love is encouragement. When we blow wind into their sails, there's just something that, especially publicly, you know, you can be your husband's fiercest critic, but at the same time, you need to be his fiercest, most loyal supporter, you know, and encourager. So that he knows that, yeah, my wife is going to tell me straight about that thing, but at the same time, she's also going to build me up, and she's going to encourage me and blow wind into my sails. And that was always a prayer that I prayed specifically over my son, that whoever his wife was, that she would blow wind into his sails, you know. But it's, I think just the bottom line is we need to encourage more and build up more. It says here, charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, that's for sure. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Now, that is a key verse. The woman who fears, who respects, who stands in awe of this incredible God, that woman will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. My translation says, let her deeds publicly declare her praise. A better version, I feel, is the NIV. The NIV says, let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Who's at the city gate? Earlier on, we read about how the husband is well known at the city gate. That always speaks to me of the fact that her husband is singing her praises. Oh, it's so wonderful when they sing our praises. Exactly. That's it. So the thing that I really want to emphasize in this is the value that you have in life, that you find in life, cannot be found in what I do. It has to be found in who I am. Okay. Now, we know the theory of that, that what I do should not define me, but it's rather who I am. But sometimes we can lose sight of that, especially if we are doers, okay? Your ability to do must come first from a place of knowing who you are. The heart of you has to shine through. You could be a woman who ticks all of these boxes, you know, you're the doer, you tick it all off, and yet you could actually be a really nasty person. You could be. You know, we can be doers, but we can actually be really nasty.
That's probably preferably when you're doing it for your own glory and not for God's glory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or you're doing it with the wrong motive.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. For me, it's this thing of, I need to know whose I am. Mm. And yeah, there are times when I'm going, like, Lord Jesus, I just can't. I mean, I must admit, I had it yesterday because I took the kids, the youth, I helped Christelle and Yaku with the walk there to Castle Gorge. Oh, Lord. And it was also helping a whole lot of the kids from Sunway. And I'll be honest, it's an extra busy time at the moment. And I'm going, Lord Jesus, I can't. And it's in those moments where I've got to then just go, okay, Susie, first of all, breathe. Mm. Trust him. Mm. But I've got to look to him. Mm. You know, and as I was saying to Michelle earlier, this thing of I have got to look to him for the supernatural enabling.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's with all of these things, is that I need to know, first of all, and this is what I do every morning when I sit with him, is I just sit and I say, thank you, God, that I am your daughter. Mm. I put that thing in first. Mm. I am yours. Mm. And if I'm yours, then all is okay. Everything is okay. If I'm not getting that praise, if things are exceptionally busy, if I'm feeling tired, I was feeling quite sick this morning, you know, like, oh, you can just feel it. It's coming. And I'm like, I will not receive this spirit of affliction. I will not bow to this. Father, you are my supernatural enablement. Now, I want to encourage you. When you are absolutely at your end, that's when he will step in and do it for you. Bronwyn. Yeah. Because, you know, as with me this morning, I was just like, Lord, I'm tired, and it's I can feel this. And then it's, no. Father God, you have to be my source. You have to enable whatever it might be, that thing of being gracious in the face of whatever it might be, you know, just feeling like you've been slapped in the face. Am I going to lower myself, or am I going to rise above it? I'm going to rise above it. There's a higher way. There's a more excellent way. Am I going to fight at this level with the chickens on the ground, clucking around, having those little hen fights? Or am I going to soar with the eagles? And the key scripture there is, those who trust in him will rise up on wings like eagles. So Jesus, I'm going to do that. I've written here, I know that I'm a daughter of the King. I know I'm loved and accepted by him. I know that I'm made worthy by him. I'm whole and complete. I'm healthy. I declare that over my body because of what he's done for me. And from that position or place, I then can go out and do. That's the key thing. I'm not the picture perfect homemaker, and that's okay. And you can fill in what it is for you. I'm not the picture perfect whatever, and that's okay. But I am a daughter of the King. So, yeah, I think let me just close in prayer and then we can chat around this. I thank you, God, my Father, that I am your daughter and that I literally take myself to those moments where I feel myself just sitting on your lap and allowing your beautiful arms of strength and mercy to come around me and to encourage, to bring strength, to remind me that you are on your throne, that you are in control, and that you are trustworthy. And so, Father God, for every single woman sitting here in this room, and for those that might listen to this later, where they need to receive a word of encouragement from you, I pray that they would literally just sense your arms surrounding them, encouraging them, and saying, my daughter, you can do this. I'm with you. I am your father. I love you. You are perfect, whole, and complete, not because of anything that you would do or say, but because you have declared me to be your father. And you have declared me to be your savior. And so I thank you, Jesus, that in those moments of feeling so inadequate or helpless, I can come to you and I can say, Lord Jesus, go before me. Be my enabler. Be the one that would give strength. Be the one that would help me to be gracious. Be the one that would help me to be an encourager. And so thank you for this incredible teaching that we receive from this beautiful book of Proverbs, this beautiful book of wise sayings. I pray that we would receive more from your wisdom and your instruction. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. Amen.